What is up, everybody, and welcome to The Tailgate. This is The Tailgate Talks, and you're listening to episode number 233. We are recording on a Thursday evening of September 12th. So we've had a few days to stew in our anger and rage from Saturday night's disappointment. So we have the Texas Tech versus Washington State game to recap today. We will be discussing that, all of our thoughts from that game. And then, of course, we'll be looking ahead to Saturday's contest with the University of North Texas when they come to town at a 11 a.m. kickoff on Saturday. So lots to discuss, lots of anger and frustration to get out in this episode. And so before we get into all that, make sure you follow us. Make sure you follow The Tailgate on Apple and on Spotify. Give us those five-star ratings, five stars for The Tailgate, please. If you listen to us on Apple, you can always leave us a review there. Also, follow us on social media. We are on Twitter at @Tailgate_talk. So if you wanted to see all of our thoughts during the Washington State game, all of the rage and disappointment tweets, you follow us there. If you want to get our thoughts on the North Texas game as the game is happening, make sure you follow us on Twitter. However, we do have Facebook, Instagram, and a YouTube channel, so feel free to follow those if you like. And lastly, if you have any comments, questions, anything you'd like us to discuss specifically about Texas Tech football, you can always shoot us an email at tailgatetalkspod@gmail.com. So with all of that said, let's go ahead and get into this week's episode.
Get your guns up, Red Raider Nation. Let's go.
All right. Well, Dustin, we are here under unfortunate circumstances today to talk about a horrible loss for the Texas Tech Red Raiders this past weekend in Pullman, Washington, against the Washington State Cougars. It was a game that a lot of Texas Tech fans were anxious for, I think, to kind of figure out what this Texas Tech football team is going to look like. I've said from the get-go on this that I'm going to wait to make my determination on this team till after the Washington State game. And then quite a pitiful performance was given by Joey McGuire and his Texas Tech Red Raiders. So today we're just going to kind of have our conversation like we would as probably like we did after this game. Talk about the things that frustrated us, talk about certain key points, key figures in this game and get through it. But let's just start with the basic question here, Dustin. It's Thursday now. How are you feeling after the game happened, and how are you feeling now that several days have passed?
I mean, it still sucks. It's such a bad game to lose to, like, what you on paper should be a lesser opponent. You still can't win on the road. And honestly, that was one of your most awful road losses of Joey's 3 years. Like, didn't even really compete from the beginning there. I mean, so that's a continuation as well, and that's just adds to the frustration. Like, that's what all this is. It's just like we hope we're over things, and it's the same crap story, crap sandwich served to us over and over, especially on the road. And, like, we're going to talk more Kittley and Morton and offense, but, like, the defense was super shitty. I mean, we let a – two-star running back from Littlewelm run for over 200 yards and set like a school record. Honestly,
quarterback.
Like, we're good about that, but yeah, quarterback just did whatever he wanted to us. And then like just letting him have one play touchdowns and just a lot of crap, like poor effort, crap. And yeah, I mean, props to Washington State. We sucked, and they wanted that game way more than we did, and it showed.
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, when parents tell you they're not mad, they're just disappointed. Yeah, you know how that hurts. I'm mad and disappointed. I'm both. Like, and
both.
I'm still mad. Like, the rage and anger from this game really hasn't cooled off. The, you know, getting on Twitter, people are still kind of stewing in it. It was a stinky loss. It's just kind of one of those that you wear on you. I think the lack of preparedness. The team looked super unready. And you, this was a game that you knew all of the surrounding things on the Washington State side,
yes, right?
The Mike Leach connection, the fact that they've kind of been left out of the Power Four conference here, all of the things surrounding this game that you knew that they were going to come out with some fire. And you were just hoping that you would be able to match that in any sort of way. And right from the get-go, from the first play of the game where they do a little pooch kick, you drop it, and they recover the football, you were not ready. And they were ready for just about everything, and you looked unprepared. You looked like a team that was playing football for the first time this season. Your quarterback looked like he had never taken a snap in a Division I college football game. It was just undisciplined, unprepared, unserious. It was a horrible, horrible football game. And like you said, I agree that this is probably the worst road loss that you've had under Joey McGuire. Sure, you got blown out by Texas last year, but at the end of the year,
yeah, but Texas, they were so much better than you.
They were so much better.
We kind of expected that. We had some injuries.
That was an expected loss at that point in the season. Wyoming would be my other only comparable kind of loss right now.
At least you went to overtime.
At least you were competitive in that game despite losing. But this one, it just no competitiveness, no fire, no will to win from the coaching staff down to the players. And you just got flat out embarrassed. And the worst part of it all is we had to stay up all day, watch all the awesome college football games just to get let down and watch this game end at like 1 a.m. with just severe disappointment. I think that was just like the icing on the cake. Was just, oh my gosh, it was just a horrible night for Red Raider Nation, a horrible game. And there are several key contributing factors to that. And let's start off with the guy that neither of us have really been high on for a while. And that's Zach Kittley, our offensive coordinator. The defense wasn't great in this game, but I thought the offense was a complete disaster in this one. As soon as Taj Brooks was taken out, I told you, I was like, I have a feeling like this is not going to go well for Zach Kittley, and people might be calling for his job after finally. What are your thoughts on Zach Kittley right now? Because in what happened on Saturday with his offense?
So on the Taj thing real quick, the loss of Taj doesn't show up in the stats.
Yeah.
Because you replace his running well enough. It shows up in how Barron played and the play calling and the pass protection. Looking at you, Cam Dickey. Like, that's where it shows up, in the plays that he's just not on the field, not involved in. Because, it's just not as good to pick it up. Barron was probably forcing it more and trying to do more and didn't have both of them. Barron and Kittley didn't have, the security blanket of, here, Tosh, here's the ball. Please make it happen for us. Make a negative play a positive play for us, because we can't do it. Like, that's where it showed up and looked really bad. I mean, Barron, I think, was forcing it. Kittley, I don't think, gave him a great play book, but I also think the lack of Taj behind him made him more forceful in the game. You know what I mean?
Yeah, which was what I've been saying, is like the only reason Kittley still has a job here is because of Taj Brooks, the ability to just give him the ball. I mean, we even saw it in week one against ACU. It was just all he relies on is Taj when it's under pressure, and that bails him out the majority of the time. Didn't have that safety blanket this game. You could see it in the offensive calls. You didn't really hand the ball off a whole lot.
No.
Barron didn't feel comfortable in like typical RPO plays of giving it to the guys, and was, I think, like you said, forcing it to receivers.
And like the other thing, and I think people get mad about, is we're running screen game a lot. Now, it is successful a lot. I do think the volume of screen game is way too high.
Yeah.
And we're not pushing the ball down the field at all. And that's where we were hoping to get some pluses from this year with this new receiving core and a quote-unquote healthy Barron.
Yeah.
That's questionable to me at this point. Because, like, we're not even trying. I don't know if it's there or it's not, or Barron's not looking for it because he doesn't want or can't throw it, or Kittley doesn't want to do it. Yeah. Like, they're scared to do it. I don't know, but it's visible to us. And it's like, that's what sucks. It's like, it's the same crap offense that we've been having crappy conversations about for 2 years, you know?
Yeah. Nothing's changed. And, you know, I think I was one of the few people that was pumping the brakes after last week about the offense. There's a lot of people, oh, the offense mm-hmm. is great, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I don't think it was that great. Like, this was ACU. And if you right. look at the, and we talked about it last week on the pod, it's like, if you look at the second half and you look at the key moments in the first game, when you needed to score, your offense couldn't get it done. You had to settle for field goals. You got stopped on downs. And then in this game, like, from the very first drive, like, you get the you know, they get the kickoff recovery. Then you get an interception, and you're like, okay, great.
Cancels out.
Your first drive of the game, his scripted drives, three and out. Three straight plays, punt the ball. Like, there's no creativity in the first drive of the game, which any good offensive coordinator can at least put together one scripted drive.
And we punted second time, too, just letting you know.
And this is one of the things we've been on Kittley for pretty much ever since he started, is he's just terrible at starting games. Like, his scripted plays must suck. Like, I don't know what he does all week to design the first couple drives of the game. Give him a whole off season, and sure, he can be great in the first games. Like, in the very first games of the season, you've scored touchdowns on those drives. But beyond that, I don't know what he does. But yeah, the offense to me, like you said, it's a dink and dunk offense. It's an offense that we have to go 12 plays to get down the field and score. It has to be a grind for us to get down the field and score. Well, we don't have any, like, big breakaway touchdowns.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking at the drive chart. Our longest three drives, which also we only have one drive over 4 minutes, and that interception in their own red zone. So we're taking 6 points off our own board for that. And the other one's like the one before that, 3 minutes and 58 seconds, lost it on fourth down. And 3:37, field goal. Like, 3:45, lost it on fourth down.
Yeah.
And we can't even get a drive going. We can't do it. We can't lengthen a drive. Like, where's the 10, 12 play drive that takes 5, 6, 7 minutes?
Like, I would rather see that than these. I would love to see a 3-play touchdown drive. Like, that's just, like, impossible for us to really have
one of those,
because we don't have any explosive plays that we can get guys downfield. Like, we really do have to do a screen and have everything work out perfectly and everybody block perfectly without getting a hold for somebody to be able to break through and get a decent gain on a play. Like, there's just no downfield threat right now. And it just looks awful. I mean, the time of possession was very close. They had it for 30 minutes and 8 seconds. You had it for 29 minutes and 52 seconds. That is an absurd stat when you look at they started almost the majority of their possessions on our side of the field, already in our territory. And so the fact that they had the ball for longer than us is absurd in this game, where they had field position advantage almost every time they got the ball. I just don't get what Kittley's doing right now. It looked awful to me on Saturday. It didn't look great to me against ACU. And I don't know how it gets better. I don't know what he can do to really improve this offense right now.
No, I don't either. I'm sorry for the short answer there. It's just disheartening it is.
It is cool. Maybe we have to run 20 screens a game. Run the ball. If Taj isn't there, it's going to be a struggle for this offense to really do anything. And I think one of the big reasons that the offense is going to struggle this year is Barron Morton is maybe not that guy. And I struggle with this one because I don't know if it's him or I don't know if it's Kittley. But when you look at it, when you looked at how he played on Saturday, he looked completely lost. What were your thoughts on Barron and his performance? And like, what does that leave you thinking about him as our starting quarterback moving on?
Yeah, Barron's tough just because, and I think we've mentioned this before, like, I mean, he's played over the last 2 years, but not a lot. He's been hurt a lot. So he hasn't practiced a lot. Like, he hasn't had a lot of playing and practice time over the last two and a half years. And that adds up, like, really, really does. Now, I mean, you had a great discussion. I think you brought it up. I don't think Kelly's a great quarterback coach.
Nope.
From what we've seen and other guys have done. No one's gotten better, at least since they've been here. They've at least stayed the same or gotten worse. So that's not great for the future and the outlook of it.
Nope. Keep it like Hammond away.
This game specifically, like, I don't know, I think he was forcing it because he didn't have Taj to bail him out and help block for him. I think that was a big part of it. And maybe that was a big growing pains part of it. Maybe he needed that, we needed that, and he'll learn and grow from that. Because you could definitely tell he was forcing a lot, trying to do a lot and do too much. But like that, again, I said that the down the field shots aren't there. I don't know if he's healthy or if the shoulder is healthy. It's not where it was healthy, you know,
or if he just
maybe doesn't move the same as it used to.
Yeah.
And so like the down the field shots aren't there. It's run after catch type stuff to get, if anything is lengthy, it's run after catch by the receiver.
Yeah, I thought he looked lost out there. And I don't know the health of it all. I know that's going to kind of surface up again here. Mm-hmm. It's like, all right, how healthy is he? I mean, what is 100% for Barron? Like, his 100% is probably like 80% for regular people. But yeah, his downfield stuff was god awful. Like 5 to 10 yards off when he's throwing it downfield.
It's not even close.
Like not even giving your receiver a chance to at least try to make a play because the ball's over. And I don't know if that's the receivers not knowing the route or that's not Barron thinking that they're going to go a different way or him just being inaccurate. But it all was like anything downfield was just too far off. And you can't have that with a starting quarterback in college football, in D1, in the Power 4. You can't have a quarterback missing guys that bad as your starter. Like, I'm sorry.
It also doesn't help that our offensive line is not good. We've been fooled by that for a second straight year, which is also why I think we're running a lot of screens, is to get the ball out of Barron's hands and away from those guys. Like,
but I saw
that's at least smart by Kitley. You can't doubt that. But the fact that we have to do it, like, 20-plus times a game is excessive.
I mean, I saw some stat that our offensive line protection so far this year in the pass protection game has been, like, one of the top 20.
I saw it was ranked 14th by PFF.
But I don't know necessarily what they're counting on that. I've really thought they've done a decent job in the pass protection. I really think it's Barron just kind of
maybe
getting lost and at – forcing the pressure to himself. Like it's kind of something that's common in quarterbacks these days. It's like if the pocket, you know, if I don't see my first read open, I'm going to start panicking and stuff. And so, you know, my biggest attribute, like I don't blame Barron for this. I think like we were having this conversation at the game. I think it's like 80% Zach Kittley's fault that Barron is like this. Like I would love to be able to see what Barron can do under a different offensive coordinator with a quarterback coach who's actually like knows how to teach the quarterback position. I just don't think Zach Kittley knows how to do that. I think
Zach Kittley, you know, he got all his accolades from Houston Baptist and Western, but I think Bailey Zappe was making that happen more than Kittley was.
Yeah. And it was obviously a much lower level of competition that you're playing where, you know, you can attack certain things a little bit easier than when you're playing Power 4, Power 5 conference teams every week. But, you know, I really think I compared him to like Adam Gase, who's like the NFL.
Yes.
Like 3 jobs because he's around Peyton Manning and everybody realized, it's all just Peyton Manning. Like Zach Kittley was around Patrick Mahomes. So he's getting all these jobs. And really it was just Patrick Mahomes. Like, Zach Kittley wasn't teaching that guy how to read a defense. Mahomes got to the pros and said he didn't know how to identify a Mike linebacker until he got to the Chiefs. Like this was all stuff he's had to learn in the pros. What's made him the quarterback he is now. I don't know Kittley's background. I don't think he played quarterback in high school. I don't think he played quarterback in college. You know, he didn't play quarterback in college. So how, I know you don't have to play quarterback to be a quarterback's coach, but I think that, like, if you look at a lot of quarterback's coach, they're guys who played quarterback at some level of competition and kind of can know how to read a defense and know how to go through your progressions and can teach somebody how to do that. And it doesn't look like Kittley can do that because Barron is a one read, two read panic and then figure it out. Stare Coy down. It's stare Josh Kelly down. And if that read isn't there, I don't know what to do. Any other Barron things you've got here, or are you on the same boat as me? Is that it's Kittley is kind of bringing him down?
I'll still be patient with him. I think it's more the Kittley bringing him down. Yeah. And I led this off with the injury and practice stuff. I hope he's healthy this year and is able to practice and play a lot more, because that adds up a lot over the years.
He just didn't look like a guy who's been in college for 3 years. And, like, sure, he's had his fair share of starts, but, man, he looked like a true freshman taking his first snaps in that game. He looked completely lost. Mm-hmm. And that's highly concerning for this being his third year. Meanwhile, I'm watching Tyler Shuck at Louisville putting up pretty damn good numbers so far, throwing it down the field, throwing it with confidence, and has an offense that's putting up really good numbers. And so it really makes me wonder – how much Zach Kittley is affecting these quarterbacks in their development. And like, that's just something you can't have. That's another reason offensive coordinator, quarterback coach, both of those haven't done anything in his tenure here. It's obviously time to move on. I just don't think Joey's got the guts to do it. I think he's too loyal of a guy to pull the plug. And then I just don't know who would call the plays right now. Like Kenny Perry or Juice, like I don't know who I would trust to be able to call plays, and so I think you're kind of stuck right now.
I agree.
Which is unfortunate, because that means that this year could just be a waste. And then at that point, I don't know if it's worth using another year on Barron to see if he can get there when you got younger guys that you can maybe be like, hey, maybe Will Hammond is it, and let's just go on with him. So it's highly concerning in the quarterback position. Next kind of conversation I want to have here are kind of about analytics and Texas Tech going for it on fourth down five times. We were 1 for 5 on fourth downs in this game. And I think it's an interesting discussion because it's one of the things, you know, I love Joey McGuire and I'm still pro McGuire and I still want him here, and we'll get into him a little bit more later. But some of the analytic stuff that he's doing right now is feeling very Brandon Staley to me. You know, the Chargers coach who was super analytical, you know, got ran out of the Chargers in 2 years. I don't mind going for it on fourth down. I just don't know if, and I tweeted this out, analytics don't account for you having a terrible offensive coordinator. They don't account for your quarterback looking completely lost in an entire game and not having the faith in him to make the right read, make the right decision. Doesn't account for, does your offense like function properly where Cameron Dickey's going to go make the block that he needs to help spring you for a first down. Where are your thoughts right now on the analytics part with Tech and the kind of growing frustrations on going for these fourth downs, putting your defense in terrible positions and all of this stuff that's kind of been going on?
Yeah, that's where it hurts, is if you don't get it, what are you giving up? And I mean, two of them were at midfield, and those you could say either way. I mean, based on the game, you know, one of them is at our own 43. That one's probably don't do this.
Please like, don't.
Dear that's, Lord, you're don't giving please. Them 20 yards to score. And that might have been the one where we didn't get it and they scored in one play.
Yeah,
I like, think that sucks.
I think that was the Jalen Conyers quarterback read. Cameron Dickey missed the block and they
scored the next play.
And then, yeah, one play later.
Touchdown. And that makes me mad because, like, that was a good play call. Jalen Conyers is good at this. We've seen it before. And Cameron Dickey didn't even try. Like, you can't even call it a whiff because he didn't even try. He walked right past the guy.
Yeah.
Like, at least a whiff, he's got his hands out and all the just, like, we just needed a shoulder on that guy.
Just bump him a bit.
Just a bump would have got enough for Conyers. He couldn't get any momentum going because the guy was free running at him. So that one sucks. But yeah, at your own 43, kind of got to question that. I don't know what score and what time and whatnot that was. I mean, it's first quarter, but I don't know time and place and momentum stuff. I'll say the last one. You're at their 24, obviously down in the fourth quarter. We got to go for that. But, like, overall, I get what you're saying about the Brandon Staley deal. But, yeah, it's the ones, like, at our own 40 to 50 that I mean, I get the point of trying to get it, but the reward is not as big at that point of the field as where the risk is really high. Where if you don't get it, now they only have 40 to 45 yards, 50 yards to go, like on three of these cases. Mm-hmm. And you just screwed your defense pretty well. And our defense already isn't great.
Yeah.
So
he's quick to shit all over defense, but it's like you're putting them in these situations willingly.
Yes, that's what sucks and like hurts and is, I don't know, not very team orientated, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
That's where I have my issues with analytics. I am pro analytics. I like analytics. I like going for it on fourth down in certain situations. If I had an offense that I can trust to get a yard in that situation. And I think like Joey, I think he has this confidence in his guys, and he, like, as a head coach, you should, but sometimes you got to take a step back in these games and realize what the situation is and see my quarterback looks lost this game. My offense isn't functioning properly. Anytime we have a good play, there's a holding call that brings us back, or there's a mistake here, or we're missing a block there. There's just nothing's working right. Let's give them bad field position for once. See if our defense can flip that and see if we can go score now that our offense maybe has better field position. I just don't understand some of the play calling. There's one fourth down at the towards the end of the game where you're down 18 points and you could have kicked the field goal to make it a two-possession game, and instead you go for it and don't convert and effectively ending the game right there. Like, you had an opportunity to at least cut it to a two-score game. I don't know why the analytics don't tell you, hey, this is an opportunity. This is an opportunity for you here to do that.
Right.
I just don't understand some of that stuff. And it's definitely like, I like McGuire and stuff, but it's making me starting to question some of his things. So let's just kind of stick on the McGuire thing. Where are you at right now? We're at that point already. There's people calling for his job. I've seen several people calling for jobs. I've seen Red Raider Sports posts about Ed Orgeron and, of course, Art Briles. So where are you at on Joey right now?
I'm not on that train. I'm not even looking and considering that at this point. Now, I am with you on he needs to evaluate staff issues at the end of the year and not just roll with the same guys for the third straight year when we're 7 wins at best, you know. Yeah. With these guys in this group. And so our recruiting is getting better. You got to give them that.
Yeah, I'm still pro McGuire. Like I said, I am not off the Joey McGuire ship. I will be if it gets in this year and it's still Kittley, which I really doubt at this point.
I do too.
It's very disappointing that he doesn't have the balls to fire him now. I don't know if this is salvageable at this point. And if this just gets any worse and you keep riding with him, you're really going to lose a lot of the fan base. And that's going to be really tough to try to come back from. You got something to add there?
No, I'm just agreeing.
Yeah. That's where I get worried for him a little bit is I think riding this Kittley ship is might bring him down with it. I want to see him with a different offensive coordinator and see how that would work. But, you know, I'm trying to have faith, and then he goes out and then he blames the game on the defense. And I'm like, bro, did you not watch the same game that we watched? Like, your offense time and time again put you in horrible situations. Yeah, your defense wasn't great. You gave up.
It's both sides, for sure. It's
both sides, but your offense is a huge reason why the defense was at a disadvantage for the majority of the game. I just thought that was just not understanding what happened in that football game. And that's your head coach. I thought that was a little bit bizarre. And I think a lot of people are kind of a little put put back by that. My dad's pretty frustrated by that. He was like, man, I did not like that conference from him.
The Monday press conference? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I agree that the defense is the biggest problem on the team right now.
Yeah.
But, yeah, from this game specifically, you put your team in bad spots. I was just looking at this drive chart and stuff, and at the bottom it has time possession and third down and average field position for Washington State was their own 44. Like, they're in midfield already. We can't do that. That comes from a couple turnovers and then all those missed fourth downs inside the 50 or worse. So, like, all that needs to be looked at, and I would hope we don't just keep doing the same thing because.
Yeah. Well, I'm Tim DeRuiter. I'm, like, super pissed after that conference. I'm like, are you kidding me? You're just going to call out my unit when the offense was an absolute joke in that game? And
yeah.
Like, I thought that defense did their best to keep us kind of in that game for a little bit. They had a couple of bad breaks, like, they had a nice play on the ball on a deep pass in the end zone. Mo Horn, I think, tipped the ball, and then the ball just, like, went right to mm-hmm. the receiver. Like, that was something you couldn't help. But, you know, I thought they did their best of keeping you in this game. Your offense just never gave them a shot. Any thoughts on the defense while we're here and Tim DeRuiter not being able to adjust to a running quarterback, still shades of Kansas State from last year?
Nope. I mean – we'll talk about it more when we get to Washington, or not Washington State, North Texas. But yeah, it sucks when you have a 500 yard passer in week one and then a 200 yard rusher from the quarterback positions in week two.
Yeah, it's just the inability to make adjustments so far this season is kind of glaring. And mm-hmm. that was something that you didn't really worry about with him. I always thought he was a pretty good defensive adjuster and make adjustments at halftime to correct things. Of course, you know, we have the Avery Johnson game from last year where he ran all over, so couldn't stop that. But for the most part, I thought, you know, he does those certain things to kind of correct those. But so far this season, that's been glaring. The last big kind of topic from this game that, you know, has now loomed over for 2 weeks here is obviously the Micah Hudson conversation, 5-star wide receiver. He did get some snaps in this game. He had his first catch, one catch for 4 yards for Micah Hudson. Joey also was asked about this in the press conference, said, yeah, we got to figure out ways to get him on the field, but who are you taking off? Where are you at on this conversation now that it's been 2 weeks and you haven't really seen any Micah Hudson run?
I'm still not anywhere on it. Like, here is my thought on it. I think this is a product of Joey talking and hyping something up too much. Have you heard this before?
No, I haven't, Dustin.
He does it every year and every offseason. And, you know, last year it was our pass rush was going to be great.
Steve Linton's a pro, man.
And then this year it was how much of a shiny toy Micah Hudson is. And I think just that hype from him planted in people's heads, and they just expect him to be Michael Crabtree right now.
Yeah.
And that shouldn't be what we expect. Now, what also makes it worse is you got a couple other schools playing their 5-star wide receivers, and they're balling out.
Yeah, doing really good.
So that doesn't help the case. But sticking in our own lane and team here, it does make me question, like, how much does he know of the offense if he's not getting on the field that much?
Yeah. Makes you wonder where he's at because
that's not what I think. So, like, I'm almost done. So, I'm on the Joey hyped it up too much and planted this type deal. And then I don't know where he's at development wise. And, like, the other people, the 5-star thing is his prospect outlook.
Yeah.
He should be this good, is basically what that means. Some guys come in a little more ready than others. I mentioned he wasn't here in this. He was here, but injured in the spring. It's like, how far along is he? Maybe he's not along far enough right now as a true freshman. And
yeah,
we need to give him more time. And maybe each game he's learning more and we'll get more snaps and more looks and stuff. So that's where I'm at.
Yeah. I, you know, I agree with you for the most part. Like that's kind of where I'm at too, is, you know, he was injured. He's a little bit behind on guys who got here early in the spring. And it is an adjustment going from high school to college football. And, you know, I think if you look at the stats for most five-star wide receivers, like there are guys making impacts now, but for the most part, it takes them a year or two before they really turn into guys that become powerhouse wide receivers. Like Michael Crabtree was a redshirted and came in his, you know, his redshirt freshman year and took off. So he had a year of doing of training and getting his body ready. And so, you know, I don't think he's immediately going to take it off, but where I have an issue is I'm like, this is a five-star guy and I don't want you to waste him and then just see him leave in the transfer portal and then see his career blossom and be like, oh man, we could have done some things to keep him. And so that's where I'm nervous, is I'm like, I mean, you can find ways to get him on the field. I'm not asking for him to play every single snap. I'm asking for him to get some plays and some looks, because I want us to do everything we can to keep him here, because I think next year he can be a huge difference maker for you. And I want to see him to start to develop, and just leaving him on the sidelines when, like, no offense, but obviously Dre McCray isn't that awesome of a receiver, or we would have seen him be doing stuff by now. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's just a great returner and that's all he is. I would love to see Micah maybe start getting more snaps over him and start running his plays instead of, you know, we're throwing Dre McCray out there to be our lead blocker on screens. Instead, let's try to get him the ball and see what he can do as an athlete and as a playmaker. You know, some guys shine best when the lights are on. You know, maybe he's not that great of a practice guy. Maybe it's all about the game time for him. I don't know. But you're never going to see it if you just keep leaving him on the sidelines. And you know, eventually he's going to get, in this day and age, he's going to see all these other five stars doing things. And he's going to, you know what, I should have gone somewhere where they're going to get me the ball. And he'll be gone next year. And that's what I don't want to see. And that'll be a drastic failure for Joey McGuire. That'll just be another thing that people will add to add to the list of things that are starting to pile up against him. Yeah, brutal week, man. It's been a brutal week. Everyone is down. There's not a lot of positive things on Twitter right now. It's very down in the dumps right now. So hoping that Saturday can maybe get us out of the dumps for a little bit. Some offensive stats from the game before we move on to our UNT preview. Barron was 34 for 58 for 323 yards. So, you know, still doesn't look terrible. He's thrown for 300 yards in back-to-back games. One touchdown, two interceptions. He did throw an interception on a two-point conversion attempt. Josh Kelly had nine catches for 95 yards, also a crucial fumble. Caleb Douglas, I thought, looked pretty good for you in this game. 4 for 71. If you were able to actually get him the ball more, I think that would be ideal. I did mention Micah was 1 for 4, or one catch for 4 yards. Your leading rusher in this game was actually Cam Brown, your backup quarterback, who had 70 yards on the ground with 5 carries. He actually looked like a nice little change of pace quarterback. I would be interested to see if they try to utilize that a little bit more. And so those are your main offensive stats. You were 10 of 19 on third down conversions. I mentioned 1 of 5 on fourth down. You had 10 penalties for 80 yards. A lot of penalties on this offense. A lot of very poor timed, shoot yourself in the foot type of penalties for this offense. Defensively, you gave up only 115 passing yards, but you gave up 197 rushing yards to a quarterback. You gave up 301 total yards on the ground to Washington State. Did have one takeaway, which was an interception from Chapman Lewis, and you did get your first sack of the year, Isaac Smith, with his first sack of the year. So, you know, just a couple positive things, I guess. No club red this week as we lost, so we do not open up the club for that. In our prediction recap, I predicted a 52-41 win for Washington State, Dustin a 38-31 win for Texas Tech, so I got the at least the Washington State winning it part right. I also predicted Washington State as the 2.5-point favorite. Dustin had Texas Tech plus 2.5 as the dog.
I got nothing right.
Dustin got nothing right. Zero. At least got those things right. Not happy about it, but We both had the over in this one, and the over did not hit. Offensively, I had Josh Kelly for 100 yards and a touchdown. He was just short of that, 95 yards. Would have had that with a touchdown, but we had a holding penalty. Bring it back, of course. Dustin had two touchdowns for someone, and that did not happen. Defensively, I had holding them to under 500 yards passing, which yay hit, but he also gave up 300 yards rushing, so not something I'm very enthusiastic about hitting. Dustin had 10-plus tackles for J-Rod, which is normally something that hits, but not in this game. He only had 7 tackles. So let's shift our focus over now to North Texas and hopefully a chance for the Red Raiders to bounce back as the North Texas Mean Green head to town at 2-0. Injury update for us. Another guy hits the out for season list, and that's offensive lineman Vinny Scurry, who suffered what looked like a knee injury in Saturday's contest against Washington State. So that is a big loss for the Red Raiders. Any thoughts about losing Vinny Scurry? And we obviously send our best wishes out to him and his recovery and the possibility that he can return next year.
Yeah, that sucks because he was probably by far your best offensive lineman.
Yeah.
So now you hope that you also had some other guys dinged up.
Yeah, Sterling Torcher, one of your other linemen, like, got a concussion, I think.
So we need Porche to be healthy, and then we need Carter to be healthy, and you have your regular 5 other guys. So, I mean, you had 6 guys going in, now you're down to 5, and now you might have to dig deeper after that as well. So that sucks.
Yeah, not ideal. Some very key injuries happening early on in this season. You have some guys that are questionable. I think Taj is still questionable. Sterling Porcher, one of your other linemen, is questionable. We're not going to go through everybody, but it's a pretty good list of guys who are questionable. So we'll just have to stay up to date and see what happens as Saturday rolls around, early game. So those will probably be announced pretty early on in the morning. But let's move on to our opponent, North Texas, who is coming in off wins over South Alabama and Stephen F. Austin. Dustin, I'm going to kick it over to you since you did our North Texas season preview to kind of walk us through what to expect from the Mean Green.
Yeah, Mean Green come to town for an 11 a.m. game. And Eric Morris, a familiar face,
yeah,
comes back. All 3 of these non-con games have been familiar face type opponents. Hasn't gone well for us, to be honest.
super bad.
And what we know about Eric Morris, he runs the air raid. He likes to put up yards and is fairly good at it.
Yeah.
So that scares me. Chandler Morris, TCU transfer that started for them last year, has thrown for 737 so far. Now, I haven't played much, but hey, it's 737 and 7 is still a good start for 2 games.
Yeah, I think I saw it's the he's the second in the nation right now in pass yard.
And running back Harris has 171, so they're going to look to air it out more than running it. Wide receiver Damon Ward, he's their number 2 guy from last year. He has 246 and 2, and then it's DT Sheffield. That's confusing because I thought that was going to be a defensive tackle.
That's a tackle Sheffield.
DT Sheffield. Number 2 guy, 148 and 3. So they're going to air it out with those guys. Now, here's some good news. Their defense sucks. So they weren't good last year either. Defense is giving up 415 a game and about 30 points. 306 passing and 108 rushing. Now, last year they were giving up like 250 rushing on the ground. Maybe that's just these 2 teams they have played are not great. And great at rushing. And maybe we have some Taj or other guys, and we are just better at that and can up that number is what I'm hoping for on side. Still not getting any really sacks or turnovers from that group as well. So I don't know how excited to be for this. I'll turn it back to you.
I'll tell you what, the most exciting part for me is that this game is at 11 a.m. this time, so we can just
get it over with.
Out of the way early. I don't have to wait till 9 p.m. for kickoff. That's what I'm excited for, is just to get up, go to the game, watch it, and hopefully leave with a W. I mean, I'm really just at an all-time low in this Joey McGuire era right now of excitement and energy for a game that really zapped a lot out of me on Saturday, and has me really nervous that this could potentially go the wrong way for you. I mean, your pass defense did not look great against ACU. This is a team that's going to try to pass the ball.
Oh, yeah.
Washington State couldn't. Their quarterback was just not good enough to throw the ball on you. And so I'm just really worried that they're going to be able to put up a lot of offensive yards on you if your defense hasn't corrected itself in the pass game. And then sad I did see is Chandler Morris has two rushing touchdowns. He only has like 10 yards rushing. So that's probably just like real close things.
Goal line RPO stuff.
But it is something that has you worried if the quarterback's going to be able to keep the ball a few times. Has our defense found a way to stop the quarterback? So
nailed it. Yeah, I mean, we don't have your expectations high for this one and hope we look better, but that's about it. You've nailed all the really fine points.
Yeah, what do you think about Eric Morris and his return? That's probably the only other thing that I'm kind of interested about, is see him back and see him maybe interviewing for a job here in a couple of years.
Yeah. Let's see how good his offense is, you know? Wink, wink. And maybe he comes and be an OC at a bigger school. You know, that'd be cool. But yeah, I mean, he's had good success so far. I mean, I think he's at Incarnate Word before and now in North Texas, and he's put up yards and numbers everywhere he's been. And so I'm excited to see it. Does scare me that he's on the other side.
Yeah.
So there is that part to it as well.
Yeah, it'll obviously be pretty cool for him to come back, the place where he played college ball, and be coaching on the other sidelines. He obviously did, coach under Cliff here for a few years too, so he has been on the sidelines here. But now to be as the opponent will be interesting. Will be interesting to see how he does. Offensively, you have any offensive expectations for us? I think Kittley can maybe start getting things back on track to make people kind of believe in him, or do you think this is going to be even more of a dumpster fire if things don't get off going well?
I kind of have a feeling this is going to be a like smokescreen game for Kittley. Like, he's going to look good.
Yeah.
Because they're playing a bad offense at home, and he's kind of going to want to get a little bit, the first two games haven't looked great. And so I think he's going to want to, and I'm pretty sure Joey's talked to him about that as well. But no, last week we talked about consistency, and that freaking wasn't there.
Yeah.
So, like, that stays on the board. Want that more consistency. But what does that look like without Taj if he's out? I don't know. So, like, trying to settle Barron down, not turn the ball over, especially at terrible parts of the field. Kind of all that. But all that also goes back to Joey, like, coaching his team, managing.
Yeah.
His team and quarterback, like, hey, you don't have to do it all, settle down type thing. So, like, it's a big bundle of questions on offense. Like, I know we don't have anything on defense. I already know that. Yeah.
Go in.
We have a lot on offense, but we have a lot of holes in this offense that we're not filling.
Yeah, for me, I'm just looking for a little bit of consistency in this game. Can we start off the game well? Like, can we get the ball and go down the field on your first drive? That's something I'm looking for. Can you be as consistent in the first quarter as you are in the second, third, and fourth quarter? Can you sustain drives? Can you stretch the field a little bit? Like, is it going to have to be dink and dunk the whole time? Is it going to have to be just relying on Taj if he is healthy? Just a lot of questions. And like you said, I am nervous that the offense does go out there, has a solid game, and then everybody just kind of forgets what happened at Washington State. And we just roll on into conference play. And it's kind of like the Tarleton State game last year. It's like offense didn't look great at the start of the season. Tarleton State comes in, you put up 49 on them.
Yep.
And everybody's like, all right, we're okay. And then, well, right back to it. So that's kind of what I'm nervous about. And like we said, don't really have any expectations for this defense to, do you think they can slow this passing attack down after, doing all right against a team that did put up 70 points last week?
Well, like, we're two sides of a coin. Like, first week, I don't know what we were doing, to be honest. But, like, second week, we dropped seven or eight and rushed three or four.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't have anybody to contain the quarterback. So it was like, we got to find a better balance of mostly trying to stop the pass because we know that's our worst point, but also being able to contain and not let them rush for 1,000 yards.
Yeah, I'm hopeful that they can, get enough stops to let our offense do their thing and get this win. But yeah, like we said, not a whole lot of expectations right now for really either side of this ball, as down on this team right now. And so as we go into UNT, let's go ahead and do our score predictions and then we'll get out of here for the week and hopefully we'll, have a good Saturday. But Dustin, what is your score prediction for Texas Tech and North Texas on Saturday?
Like I said, I think Kittley has a good game against a bad defense. I'm going to take us to win 48-27.
All right. So you have a little more comfortable than I do. I have 45-35. I think they're going to be able to score enough to make this sweat. And I just hope we do enough to at least have a 2-score win in this one. And I'll be feeling a little bit better. Not great, but if you have to sweat this one out, like the ACU game or whatever, sound the alarms. It's going to be a brutal end of the season. So with that, let's see. So I have 38-28. I can't even remember. 38-28, and you have
48-27. So I got Texas Tech even with those points. And the over.
Wait, I said 45-35.
I think I've been on that every game. Just trying to be hopeful.
Yeah, we both have Texas Tech covering the 9.5 points that they are favored by right now. That line, I think, was like 12 when it started. It's got down to single digits. So
it's moved a lot.
Yeah, it's moved a lot. I think a lot of people are really down on Tech. I think we do enough to win this game a little bit comfortably. But, yeah, I'm also going over with you. In this one, I think it's going to be an offensive showcase with both of these teams. So, speaking of offense, what is your offensive prediction for this game?
All right, I talked last week about simplifying these. I'm going even simpler. No turnovers in this game.
All right, no turnovers.
Of my predictions are not going to be player specific today.
I'm going player specific, and I think like this is maybe the last opportunity to really get him some play before we get into bigger competition. I'm going to say the fans have gotten to Joey and Zach, and Micah is going to get some run, and he's going to have over 3 receptions.
Whoa, thought you were going out on a limb here, but 3 doesn't sound crazy, but with him being barely on the field and has 2 catches so far, I guess it is.
He has 1 catch so far this season. So that would be more than doubling his production so far this season. Dustin, your defensive prediction.
So don't like anything about our defense to try to pick something.
Yeah, I don't either.
So I'm going special teams to block a kick or a punt. That's defensive.
Block, kick, / punt. All right, we'll take that. I actually think Chandler Morris, he's kind of a gunslinger type quarterback. He threw 3 interceptions last week. I feel like he's going to give us opportunities, so I'm going to say we have two takeaways this week.
Sweet.
Not going for the take 3. I'm just going to go with 2 takeaways. You almost had it last week. You had the pick, and then you almost had the forced fumble on the drive right after. Unfortunately, you had 4 guys around the ball and couldn't land on it. And so you did not get those 2, but
yeah.
All right. So those are our predictions for Texas Tech versus North Texas. Both of us taking Texas Tech to win. I'm going 45-35, Dustin going 48-27. We are both taking Texas Tech as the 9.5 point favorite. We are both going with Texas Tech over 69.5 points. Dustin is going with no turnovers for the offense, and I'm going with Micah Hudson, 3+ receptions. Defensive predictions, Dustin's going with the special teams block, kick or punt. I'm going with 2 takeaways for the defense in this one. So that'll do it for our Texas Tech football coverage this week. Dustin, do you have any final shots before we get out of here this week?
Random one on the uniforms we're wearing for this game, because those got announced Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a weird looking combo.
I haven't been on Twitter much today.
We were wearing black helmets with the Red Raider red jerseys and white pants.
All right.
makes me think. I don't know if you still listen to Pardon My Take, but sometimes they bring up if somebody's a better player than person or person than player. This is an instance, I think, we are a better team than uniform combo.
Yeah.
And I don't think we're going to get that a lot this year.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen the black, red, white, so that'll be interesting.
Better team than uniform combo, do you agree?
Yeah. One game. Maybe one game.
Yeah. There's my final shot, just cool. uniform watch.
I don't really have much other than the NFL is off and running. Fun first weekend of games. Chiefs won by a toe. A lot of stuff going on. Cowboys dominated the Browns. So special, fantasy football is off and running too. So enjoy this time of year. And we'll be here to guide you through the rest of this Texas Tech football season, no matter the ups or downs, and to catch everything we're doing here at Tailgate Talks. Give us a follow. Follow us on Apple. Follow us on Spotify. Give us those 5 stars. 5 stars for the tailgate. If you listen to us on Apple, leave us a review there. Also, follow us on social media. Follow us on Twitter at @tailgate_talks to get our thoughts during the games. If you want to follow our Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube channels, feel free to do so as well. Want to thank you for hanging out with us this week, despite having to talk about a horrible football game. We hope you enjoy your tailgates and the Texas Tech North Texas game on Saturday. It's an 11 a.m. kick, so up and early this Saturday. But we will catch y'all at the next tailgate. Peace.